This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We get today to talk to someone who I love visiting with. We're visiting today with Dr. Robert Pearl, Dr. Robbie Pearl. Dr. Pearl was one of the key builders of what is today Kaiser Permanente. He's a brilliant, highly energetic person who is sort of the godfather in some ways, even though he's so young, of value-based care and thinking about value-based care. Dr. Pearl, before we get started in talking about the new book that you have out and some of the thoughts there about ChatGPT, AI, and more, give the audience a little background on yourself, if you don't mind.
Hey, Scott, it's great to be with you again, and congratulations on all the things you've accomplished lately in your wonderful career. I am a surgeon with the medical school at Yale, did my residency at Stanford. I joined Kaiser Permanente after my training and became the CEO, which I did for 18 years. I'm currently a professor at the Stanford Graduate School of Medicine and Graduate School of Business. I have my own weekly podcast called Fixing Healthcare. And I obviously keynote events, consult to companies, just having a wonderful time and about to publish on April the 9th, my third book, ChatGPT MD, How AI-Empowered Patients and Doctors Can Take Back Control of American Medicine, with all profits going to Doctors Without Borders. And anyone who purchases the book on the first day, I'll make an additional donation to Doctors Without Borders to support the wonderful charity.
Thank you. And take a moment and tell us about the book. And we'll try and release this podcast right before April 9th. I think that's what the game plan is. But Robbie, tell us about the book and what you're seeing with ChatGPT AI. What's the promise to help physicians here?
Scott, as you know, we've talked about value-based care for decades. The idea that we could have simultaneously higher quality, greater patient convenience, and affordability. That triad, we've known it's the right place to go. We just haven't known how to get there. And then 2 years ago, generative AI comes to the fore. OpenAI releases ChatGPT, and it is remarkable. It's not just information like you can get on Google by clicking on a link. It's actually expertise, not just for the doctor, but for the patient. And this ability to be able to manage your diseases, to understand how you're doing. As you're well aware, Scott, chronic disease is now 60% of the problems that Americans have. Actually, people around the globe are focusing on American medicine on this podcast today, that it accounts for 70% of the cost. It's a crisis. And as a result of that, what we see are tremendous problems in medicine. And we now suddenly have a tool that can address it, that can eliminate many of the 400,000 misdiagnoses that lead to death every year, the 250,000 people who die from preventable medical errors that you've looked at across your career in the hospital industry, the fact that over half of Americans can't afford healthcare today. We could spend this entire conversation on the problems, but I think it's more important to focus on the ways that ChatGPT, generative AI, is going to make this change happen quickly. This is a technology that's doubling exponentially, doubling in power every year. It means that 5 years from now, it's going to be 30 times more powerful, and we are not yet ready. So 6 months ago, I decided I wanted to publish a book to educate people about generative AI, how it's different from other kinds of AI, and how it can empower patients in a way to improve health outcomes and to make care affordable. And so I co-wrote it, actually, with ChatGPT. I took the 1.2 million words that I had published across time, entered it into the ChatGPT tool, the application, and then went back and forth hundreds, maybe thousands of times, putting my words, finding the interpretation of ChatGPT, as you would with an author, as you and I were writing it, and being able to publish the book, about only about one chapter, and I pointed out what it is. is actually written by ChatGPT. The majority, obviously, I'm the main author. But going back and forth with ChatGPT allowed me to accomplish in 6 months what otherwise would have taken me 2 years.
Fascinating. And where do you see ChatGPT? Is there immediate uses for a physician? You know, pick a type of physician, a primary care physician, a specialist. Do you see yet immediate uses, or is it still a work in process? Or there's immediate uses, are there bigger uses coming? Talk to us a little bit about that.
It's important, Scott, for people to remember we're talking about this technology empowering both doctors and patients. So let me address the doctor part that you asked about, but that won't let me focus as much on the patient part, which is going to be new and unique in medicine and what we have to be ready for as we look into the future. So let's start with the physician. I talk to physicians all the time that are using it to be able to better understand the totality of information in the electronic healthcare record today, that they're using it to consult when they want to see a differential diagnosis, when they want to see the most up-to-date medical information. As we know, healthcare knowledge is doubling every 74 days. And this is an opportunity now for physicians to stay current. It allows individuals to find obscure diagnoses. I write in the book about a physician in the operating room faced with a very unusual situation that the doctor could not figure out what was going on, and very quickly, in a matter of a minute, came up with case reports that would be able to allow the right care to be provided. A disaster could have happened. As I said earlier, 400,000 people die annually from misdiagnoses, and the possibility of physicians putting into the application all of the patient's information and getting out of it the right diagnosis. And we're just starting the process, because what's now existing is what's called prompts, plugins. These are, they call them GPTs, opportunities to connect the electronic record into generative AI to provide the information in a way that physicians can use it far better than today. You know, even in a hospital where you're a world leader and an expert, we know that 1 in 4 patients suffer a major misdiagnosis. This can be improved. We have opportunities for nurses to be able to avoid medical errors that kill 250,000 people a year. The opportunities for clinicians are great, and already they exist because clinicians have the expertise to be able to sort out whether the information they're receiving is the right material, the right knowledge, or not. The patient is a slightly different story. What exists today is not yet ready, Scott. It's not yet ready for patients to use without doctor or other clinician assistance in the process, but it will be within 5 years. It will help people with chronic disease know how they're doing. Think about it. A chronic disease you have every day of your life, and yet you see the doctor every 3 to 4 months. We can change medication more quickly. We know that over half of patients with type 2 diabetes are not under good control. We can start to change that. We know the patients with hypertension, fewer than 2/3 of them are well controlled. We can get to over 90%. And in particular, I'm interested in an area of hospital at home. We know that our hospitals are taking care of many patients who could be taken care of more safely and better at home. And we can't do it because we can't monitor them. ChatGPT will allow that to happen. And for the patient waking up in the middle of the night, let's say they have a child with 102, 103 fever. Do you go to the ER? Do you wait till the morning to the pediatricians in the office? ChatGPT is going to provide that expertise. Not the version of today. It's not yet reliable enough. But by 5 years from now, when it's 30 times more powerful, that is when it's going to radically change, transform American medicine.
Fantastic, fantastic. And talk just for a second about how quickly will we start to feel and see this change? Because I think most of us would say we hear a lot about it, but I don't think most physicians at least understand or feel the changes yet. How quickly do you think it's part of sort of the workflow and really feel like it it works, or it's helping.
I think today everyone, and I mean both doctors and patients, should be, and I want to put in quotes, playing with the application, not trying to change dramatically how that care is both provided and obtained, but to start to get that experience. It's like every other technological tool. I mean, I remember early back on in the cell phone, when people would keep it in their trunk just to, in case they got into an accident and needed to get help. And look at what happens today, not just as a telephone and not just as the other applications like music player and camera, but the fact that it allows us to continually access the internet. As clinicians want to look at information in journals or textbooks in a particular medical problem, they soon will go directly to a ChatGPT, and they'll ask to have the links and the references if they want to obtain them as well. They'll be sitting in the office, not quite sure what to do. They'll have a patient in the office who wants to go on an exercise or diet program, and they won't know how to provide the instructions, or disease they'll want to educate the individual about, maybe in a different language. These are tools that are going to become available. We just don't think of them today, just like we didn't think about the cell phone. If you go back two decades to the turn of the century, 7 years before Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone. So that's the way we can see this changing that practice, but also for the patient. Patients who are listening in, the more information you put in, the better the outcome is going to be. And OpenAI just mentioned recently, although it's not yet available, memory. So once that information is put into the application, it's now available. So when you ask about your child's fever, going back to that example I used earlier, it will know whether your child has any diseases. It will know whether your child is on medications. It will know about allergies. This is the type of expertise that I was alluding to earlier. We're not yet ready to go there, but I'm hoping, and organizations like yours may lead the way at figuring out, how do we put this information into the application? How do we prompt it to be able to answer questions? And how can we verify that that information is accurate? I think today it's going to be a toy. And the model that exists right now is still immature compared to what's going to be here in a few years, but people can start to see the possibilities and start to use it. I'd say first in lifestyle medicine, if you're a patient, how do you improve it? Your exercise? How do you change your diet? You can put in there your medical conditions and it will give you the recipes, the shopping list, the way that you can improve your health simply by doing the things that we know work and are very safe. When it gets to areas of diagnosis and treatment, as I say, that's still a couple of years away. But that is the big opportunity. And I want to stress, Scott, you know, one of the biggest problems in healthcare today is burnout. We're talking doctors, we're talking nurses, 60%. And it's because there are so many tasks that are happening that are not adding a lot of value. Generative AI can accomplish a lot of those tasks. And I'm hoping that by empowering patients, and I'm thinking that possibly as much as 20% of what's currently done in a doctor's office or in the hospital could be done at home. And that now frees up the most valuable resource, which is time. Because doctors and nurses today feel rushed. They feel like they're on a treadmill. They go home at night feeling that they haven't done as good a job as they want to do. Not because they're not educated, not because they're not dedicated, but because they don't have the time to do so. And I think if we can find ways to be able to move 20% of that onto the patient in a way that leads to better outcomes, we're going to be able to restore some of the things that led clinicians to choose medicine in the first place, because now they'll go home at night feeling like they did a really good job because they had the time to do so.
Thank you. And talk to us, Dr. Pearl, about the name of the book, where people can find the book. So as people want to buy the book and read it, they can do so. Talk to us about that.
As I mentioned earlier, what I saw was that ChatGPT, and I use that just as a generic term, it's also the Google form and obviously the Microsoft form, and it's going to be the Apple and the Amazon. Everyone's going to have a variant of generative AI. And that it's moving so fast that if I took the usual 2 years to write a book, to get it all edited, to put it into the print setting process, to use the usual distributions channel, it was going to take 2 years to get it to the public. And by then, everything in it would be outdated. So we moved it much more quickly, particularly this last segment of the publishing, which is between the completion of the writing and the actual availability. So we're going to make it available through Amazon. So that will be on April the 9th. People will be able to go into Amazon to be able to put in ChatGPT, MD. You can put Robert Pearl. You can put the subtitle, how AI-empowered patients and doctors can retake control of American medicine. And that they can obtain the book at that particular time. If they want to read it right away, they can use the e-version. It'll be available the same day. If they want the hardcover copy, obviously, it'll be delivered by Amazon a little while later. So April 9th is the key day, with all profits going to Doctors Without Borders. And anyone who buys it that day will make an additional donation on your behalf to get there. I'd like to hear from listeners. How did they find the book? How optimistic are they? What unique ways are they using this to improve their health? And in particular, how are they becoming not just, I'll say, less sick, but healthier? How are they able to know what's going on when they have new symptoms, to avoid chronic disease and better manage chronic disease? How are they able to use it to be more educated when they see their clinician, so that when they see the clinician, they know the right questions to ask? This idea of the patient being totally dependent upon the healthcare system, whether you're talking about the doctor in his or her office, or whether you're talking about the hospital or the local ER, instead of that, to be an empowered and knowledgeable patient. That is what is unique about this tool. You know, across history, we saw everything from the printing press to the internet to the iPhone to the cell phone, the smartphone, being able to provide knowledge to people. Generative AI, ChatGPT, it provides expertise, more expertise for the clinician, equally and maybe more powerfully, expertise for the patient. The opportunity, Scott, to transform American healthcare and to restore value, to achieve affordability, not by cutting back on care, but by improving quality and access. This has been the hope, I think, of healthcare for the past 100 years, and we're there now.
Well, let's hope it does that. Robbie, I want to thank you for joining us again on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's always great to meet you. Dr. Pearl, phenomenal leader. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Scott. And I want to hear from you directly. How do you like ChatGPT after you read it? I want to thank you for writing a blurb for it. I thank you for all your leadership in American medicine. You've been a visionary in hospital care.
Thank you very much. We'll do it. Thank you.